from Mosher Media Studios, uploaded to the internet, downloaded into your hearts. It's Warpath Podcast, episode number 4. Hello, guys. I'm Anthony LaGuardia. What's up?
What's happening? I'm Adam Gokowski.
And I'm Tribe Designer Nick Petrovoya. What's going on?
Happy to have you guys here with us for episode number 4. It's a big week here. We're only, as of tonight, 19 days from opening day at Progressive Field, which is, I believe, really 12 days from opening day.
Right, yeah, when they're playing in Toronto.
Yeah, so it's coming up fast and hard for Nick and
easy.
I. Well, no, it only gets harder as it gets closer for us because we've got a lot of work to do before the gates open, but it's coming up quick. Adam, how are you feeling about it coming this quickly?
You have no idea how excited I am. Finally, it's almost here.
It's almost here. It's
it was just like a blizzard outside, but
I know we were
supposedly
just
it's almost here. Today's the first day of spring.
First day of spring, and we just turned around, and there was a blizzard outside the windows here of Mosher Media Studios. And that is not good for yours truly, because as I go to put up signs, it's got to be at least 40 degrees, or I'm going to have to buy big heat cannons to blow at walls at the ballpark. But I heard this morning I was driving in, one of my installers actually left me a voicemail and text messaged me, 8 to 12 inches of snow this coming weekend.
Wow. I can't handle it anymore. There's always one or two days in March that just make you really pissed off to live in Cleveland.
They do, and it's that's Cleveland baseball at its best when it's snowing.
You notice that I didn't say a word? Because you can't see my facial emotions over this podcast. I just went kind of like stone-faced or something.
That's all right, though. I heard that by next Friday we're going to be up to 42 degrees.
I'll take 42.
We'll take 42. I'll take a week of 42 or higher to get those signs up. But thank you for coming and being with us today. As we get into the podcast, we want to start off like we always do with our beer of the podcast. And the guys have already started drinking so far. So
no surprise.
Adam's showing you what it's like to pop open a nice Yuengling Bock beer. I just had lunch last Friday with the Ohio regional manager for Yuengling, Scott McCants, and he loved the show and loves what we're doing. And so Yuengling, once again, is the beer of the podcast.
I heard Scott was a Browns fan, too, so that's important to me.
Scott is a Browns fan, and we spent a great lunch together at the Superior Deli in downtown Cleveland eating some corned beef on Friday, which God paid me back for later with some serious heartburn for eating meat on Friday. But we were talking about it, like I said, last podcast, the two Yuengling bars that are going to be opening up at Section 1 and Section 8 in the ball, or I'm sorry, Section 108 and Section 160 in the ballpark. It's going to be awesome. We're getting ready to install those next week as long as the weather holds up for us. And, you know, he's really excited to be part of Tribe Baseball. And so thank you to Yuengling for Yuengling Bock beer.
It's good stuff, too. I've never had this one.
I'm not drinking today because I've got a little bit of a sinus infection and I don't want to fall over
right
here on the microwave or on the microwave on the microphone, as you can tell.
I'll be honest. I thought I said root beer for a moment. That's why I got really excited. But regardless, it's great beer.
Well, if everything goes well and I start feeling better, being as I just had my Cure-All before the show started, I might end up opening one up. But
I like this label too. It's got a goat drinking from
a wine glass.
No,
or a cereal bowl.
It's like a goblet filled with Bock beer, and it says "tastes good" right next to his head. So
it's actually kind of funny, though, if you look at it from I'm sitting across the table from you. It looks like a goat smoking a J. So.
Well, maybe he was in Goodyear.
He could have been at Goodyear ballpark. So, but you know, I just wanted to quickly just see what's going on around the table here. Nick has some news coming up here of some stuff that's happening down at the ballpark, and Adam's had a big past 2 weeks. So why don't you guys fill us in? What's been happening?
Nick, take it away.
Well, today I got an email from my good friend Curtis Danberg at the Cleveland Indians, and he got a request for an interview, and you know, which is not out of the ordinary. He gets requests all the time to interview players and different people within the front office of the Cleveland Indians. This is a first for him. He got an interview to, or a request to interview someone who is very important within the Cleveland Indians organization, myself. No. Yeah, he says, he's like, I never expected to field a request like this. So the Cleveland scene actually wants to do a Q&A with me. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I think Vince is the editor's name. I contacted him, and he's going to get back to me. We're going to try to set up a time within the next week or so to figure out what he wants to do.
Nice. Well, that's exciting. It's we don't really... I mean, we're figuring it's because of Tribe Designing, but...
It could be. Hopefully there's not anything bad that they've caught.
Yeah, there's nothing in the closet that we need to know about.
They're going
to
bring the skeletons out of the closet. You got to be careful, though.
Or the blow-up dolls out of the closet. Something weird in the suburbs.
I have no comment.
But it is exciting, so keep an eye out for that in Scene Magazine, and you'll get to see the lovely mug of Nick Pietrovoy.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be a photo or not. I hope not.
Oh, come on. There's going to be centerfold. Well,
centerfold. Okay. All
strategically
right.
Placed Warpath Podcast logo.
I'm very good looking, so.
You've got a face for podcasts.
I'll sell a lot of Scene magazines. Good thing they're free.
And so, Adam, you've had a big 2 weeks here.
Yeah, some ups and downs. A lot of viewers don't know. My grandmother did take ill about 2 weeks ago, and she's currently in a nursing home where she'll be spending, you know, hopefully quite a while in, but those will be her final days. She's doing well. She's not dying or anything, but she had a stroke, and she had to move out of her her apartment because she was living in an independent care. Well, now she's going to be in a nursing home, and maybe eventually she'll get into assisted living, but as of right now, she's in a nursing home being taken care of. So later on in this podcast, I'm going to be telling some good Indian stories relating to her. And besides that, yeah, life's been pretty good.
She's a huge Tribe fan.
By marriage.
Okay.
Yeah, she, you know, there's a stereotypical old lady who's like, I don't know anything about baseball. And it's like, and you'll know more about her when I tell the stories, but my I'm a fifth generation Tribe fan.
Okay.
So she, you know, is a part of it.
Yeah.
So we'll get into some good stories later on.
Yeah, so we've had the upper, now the downer. And then let's go back to the upper though.
Oh no.
You know, there was 2 weeks ago we announced 4 weeks ago we announced that
was
Adam,
it already 4 weeks?
Four no. weeks ago we were talking about Adam being at the bar or at the liquor store buying some liquor.
That was
because
that was
he
four,
was
yep.
you know, soaking up the sorrows. And then 2 weeks ago we said that Adam scored big and got the actually gave his number to a model who called him,
mm-hmm.
and they went out.
Yeah, we did. It was a good time. Hopefully, I get a second date. You know, we'll find out how good it really went in maybe in 2 weeks.
Yes,
but yeah, we had a good time. Had some good beers. Had some good laughs.
Excellent.
I think that's a good one to probably invite to opening day.
I'm not going to announce who this person is, but her father is a figure in Cleveland. And unfortunately, Jim Tomey's not her father.
Okay.
But but yeah, she should be down at opening day.
Nice.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Sitting with yours.
Unless she listens to this podcast, it's all over. The gig is up.
Wow. But
drop you like a bad habit.
Actually, you know, it was probably a good time because he's being very protective of the story and not letting it all loose. So that's good. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. Well, good. Good. And for me, I mean, it's... you know, there hasn't been much exciting except for the fact that, you know, got to do some work in the ballpark so far. You know, we'll talk about the new premium lounge that they opened up just today that they introduced to the media and actually to their employees. They had only had, I think, maybe 10 people that had been in the premium lounge. Everybody else had been roped off from it. Nick and I had a chance to be part of putting that together and got to do some awesome things. So we'll talk about that later. And it was a very fulfilling day knowing that we got that done and that they were happy.
That's always the most important.
Yeah.
Get it done and make sure they like it.
Exactly. Get it done and make sure that they like it. But they were overjoyed. So I think, you know, the fans are going to have something awesome to look forward to with that. The only other thing for me is we had pictures taken for my son, my 7.5-month-old, this past weekend, and Daddy won out on what the second costume would be that he wore. You know, they said, you can have a costume change. Really? That's cool. And I stopped at the Tribe team shop
nice.
At the ballpark, got my son his first Cleveland Indians jersey.
All right.
Oh, that's cool.
And his first Indians ball cap.
Oh, that's awesome.
And my son took a face dye. It was great. The photographers had a backdrop of a baseball field inside of a stadium. So he Perfect. Looked like he was out in center field sitting down, and the stadium was behind him. And it was hysterical because he's sitting there. And so, you know, I had a baseball in his hands and everything. And they caught one where it looked like he was throwing the ball. And really, he was just throwing his hands up in the air. But the ball rolled away from him, and my son went after it. And none of us were close to him. Wham! Face planted.
Oh.
So.
Started sobbing?
Started just crying like crazy. So we got
ain't
him
no
all,
crying in baseball.
We got him all cleaned up and everything. We got him all cleaned up and back in there, and we got the best shot, which is, I think, going to be my new Twitter picture, which was a great one. He's looking down, and all you can see is the Indians across the chest, and then the face is down, and so the cap is just staring straight ahead. And it's maybe one of the coolest shots I've
that's
ever seen
cool.
for a little cool
that's awesome.
For a little kid. So that's the big news for me, because my life right now is just work, getting the ballpark ready, and you know, it's a fun yet nerve-wracking time of life.
Well, you know what else is fun yet nerve-wracking? Was that Harlem Shake that the Tribe did.
Yes.
I'm sure some of those guys were a little nervous when Nick Swisher came up with that idea.
Dude, no kidding. And I mean, to get onto that, it was I've seen a couple Harlem Shakes. I mean, I saw the Miami Heat one and about threw up and was like, "What? This is the stupidest thing ever, this Harlem Shake." And then I saw the Minnesota Timberwolves one, where one of the Timberwolves like people, or the Minnesota
mascot.
Timberwolf,
was it the mascot?
Mascot,
yeah.
Beat the LeBron James guy mocking LeBron James with a bat. It
I
was hysterical. He just runs up and whaps him. But
like Tanya Harding.
Oh wow!
It was hysterical. I mean, you just see this guy in a number 6 Heat jersey just jumping all around. All of a sudden, wow.
Oh, that's pretty good. I'm going to go look that up now.
It's pretty good. But then, you know, I see that the Indians did it. I saw Adam posting about it and a couple other people posting about it. I'm like, oh, what is this going to be? And I got to tell you, it gave me a great feeling for this team. And something I think that's been missing since the 90s was that whole camaraderie in the clubhouse and that, you know, kind of not to steal something from the Pittsburgh Pirates, but it's almost like a we are family type of feel to the team.
They're having fun with each other outside of the, you know, off the field.
Exactly. And what better way to start it off than with Terry Francona standing up there and, you know, shaking it in front of everybody. And to
oh,
get
that
your,
was a great intro. That was the key for me.
That was the best.
Everyone's
I mean,
talking about that. Yeah.
I mean, not to sound, you know, like Tutti Frutti or anything, but that was hysterical. And that was the best start to one of those things that I've seen. It was hysterical.
My favorite part in the beginning is there is just a very, very fast shot of Sandy Alomar just staring at Francona. And
really serious?
Yeah.
Looking very, very serious. And, you know, out of nowhere, the booty shaking.
Yeah.
It was just so funny.
That was my favorite part of the whole thing. Was the guy that we're not – when we first talked, we said there's no way this guy's going to make the team. And now it looks like he's going to make the team.
Giambi
in the green
that
outfit.
That was great.
That was freaking great. I mean, it was like, who is that? And I read into it, and so it was Giambi. I was just cracking up.
I like the Penguins waddling through. There's just so many cool things. The Chris Perez – dressed up as the guys from David Huff dressed up as the guys from Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
I like at the very, very, very end, Kipnis as the parrot. He's sitting on top of the weight
on
set,
top,
dropping a weight like a dookie. And the reason I know that is because somebody called him out on Twitter and he retweeted it. So you know it's true.
I missed that.
He was
one.
Hoping somebody caught it.
Yeah.
It was just. There's a great feeling about this baseball team. I mean, you know, you had a great feeling from Christmas time on, and now you're getting closer and you're seeing this. Yeah. And you're seeing this and it's like, wow, these guys really like each other. And there's the leaders in the clubhouse that can get the guys together to do this. I have to say this. If Sandy Alomar is our manager right now, I don't know that we do this.
I don't think we would have had the signings. And I'm pretty sure I said that a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a Francona.
It's Francona.
If you watch like MLB Network and they'll be like, oh, what brought you to Cleveland? I'm pretty sure Bourne said it. Swisher's definitely said it.
Yep.
Giambi's even said it. They all first answer, well, Terry Francona had a big part of my signing.
Yep.
There you go.
I mean, I love Sandy Allen Martin. I would love for him to be the Cleveland Indians manager.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he would have been, the look that he gave Terry Francona in the video is almost how you would have expected he would. If everybody would have, anybody would have said to him, hey, we're going to do the Harlem Shake, he would have been like, get the f*** out of here.
He takes baseball seriously. He takes his job very seriously, which is good.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like the jokester back in the 90s. No. He wasn't the Baerga or the Espinoza or Lofton messing around, you know, having fun. He was, he was all seriousness.
But in fairness to him, in the Harlem Shake, you can tell he's trying to hold back a smile.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, he sees it more, I think, of, you know, I'm not the manager, you know, but I could still have fun with it. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, hey,
that's why I loved it. Just that one shot of him.
Yeah. I'm just going to say it right now. I mean, when this team does awesome this year, the T-shirt needs to be made. Thank God for Terry Francona.
I was going to say in Terry we trust.
Or in Terry we trust. Yeah. I mean, it's.
Just like when Tressel was the coach of the Buckeyes, they went with the in Tressel we trust.
Yeah.
It's got to be in Terry we trust.
I think so. I just. It's so funny because you look back at the past managers, and we've talked about it before. Charlie Manuel. I think Charlie Manuel would have done the, he probably more Cotton Eye Joe. but you would have had Eric Wedge.
No chance.
Manny Acton might have done it, but he was kind of too stylish.
He was too cool for school when it came to stuff like that.
Yeah. So it's fun. But, you know, now we're spring training's getting ready to wrap up here in, what, about another week and a half? And the trucks are going to be leaving Goodyear.
That's crazy. It seems like we just were excited because the trucks were leaving Cleveland to go to Goodyear.
Honest to God,
we're coming back.
I think actually our first podcast was the night that the trucks left.
It might have been.
I think because I just left the ballpark and was waving to them as they left with a couple things on there, so... there's been some, you know, great.
I just picture that too. It's just seeing like a little boy just goodbye, waving to the train.
You know, it's...
But the sad part is I could picture Anthony really doing that.
Sad thing is I could picture myself doing it too. That's the...
Oh, I thought you were serious that you really did do that.
Oh no, I was there when they left.
Oh, I thought it was real.
No, I think I'm pretty sure I was there when they left because I think I was dropping stuff off that had to be there. You know, the last second thing that
just stood in the middle of the road as it just hits the highway.
Goodbye. Goodbye. But we, you know, let's talk about spring training and what we've thought so far of the team and what we're looking at. The starting five is pretty much set.
Yeah, it's taking shape. Yeah. We were worried about the fourth and fifth spot actually. And they announced that Zach McAllister definitely wrapped up number four.
Number four.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it's officially been announced yet, but my man, Scott Kazmir, who I've been hoping is going to make it, seems like pretty much a lock for that fifth spot.
I guess Dice K's out of the picture now.
He's out.
Well, but one thing quickly on Dice K, I give him all the props for going down to Columbus, just taking the demotion and going to Columbus.
That was surprising to me that he would take that.
I think he sees the writing on the wall that anybody from... 1 through 5 in our lineup could really be, you know, could falter, and he could have a chance to come back up.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's not good, but but it's nice to, we'll go through it here. Let's just go through the starting five, and then we'll talk about Dice K afterwards. You know, you're starting off with the number one, Justin Masterson.
He's going to be solid.
Yeah, through this past Sunday, and, you know, he pitched, I think.
Sunday, he got rocked in the first, but what was it, like, 4 innings total or something.
He got rocked last, the first, and then the then last he was smooth.
Yeah.
But before Sunday, he was 2-0 with a 4.15 ERA, 6 strikeouts, no walks, and 8 2/3 innings.
Walks, I like that.
That's a huge number right there, is no walks and 8 2/3 innings. From your number one guy, you want to see those quality innings. Even if he doesn't get the tons of strikeouts, if he's not walking people and he keeps his ERA somewhere, you know, 2.5 to 3.5, and he's, you know, ground outs, fly balls, we'll take that in Cleveland.
Yeah.
2.5 to 3.5. We'll take that for sure.
We take 3.5 for sure. Yeah.
We'll take 4.
Yeah. I mean, it's way better than what we've had in the past. So, you know, you've got Justin Masterson at number one, and number two, Ubaldo Jimenez.
I was just going to say, I was just mentally doing the thinking of if we have 5 guys in the rotation. and opening day or home opener in Cleveland's game 7, Yobaldos, who we're probably going to see.
Right.
So that may A or nay, that's I don't know how I feel about that, but I mean that's just how the rotation is.
Yeah.
The one good sign about Yobaldo is his walks are down in spring training, which is a key. We talked about a little bit on the last podcast or the one before that, that they've been working with his delivery, trying to get him to speed it up. It seems like it's been helping. His ERA is up there. It was before his last start, I believe, was at 5.56.
Yeah.
So that's pretty bad.
Yeah, he has to lower that.
But, you know, spring training, you're not really necessarily looking at the numbers as much. But the walks I do definitely look at because you want to be around the plate. You want to be throwing strikes. That's the most important thing in spring training. Keeping the ball down, but at least you're throwing strikes and making them put the ball in play with our defense. You know, yeah. We have a great defense.
Actually, right now, his ERA is at 4.91.
Okay, so he did well in his last start.
Yeah, he came out there and lowered it in five games, 4.91. Last year, I think in five games, we were at about 17.75 or something.
Wait, did he pitch on Monday?
I believe he did.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
versus Brewers.
And I'm joking about the 17.75, if you couldn't tell, but... you know, he was up there, right? I mean, you know, we went into last year hoping that, you know, he was going to be the guy that we traded for from Colorado, and he just was not it. And it's crazy to watch how that split second in his delivery has changed things up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a lot of time, actually, for a major leaguer. Just a, you know, half a second or whatever, reducing that number. That's going to help him out a lot, I think. And also, if he can throw strikes like we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I'm excited about for Yobaldo is I would be excited if he wasn't our number two starter, just based on his spring training. It seems like we just talked about he's speeding up, he's throwing strikes. If he can do that consistently and he's at the bottom of the rotation, if I were Francona, I would have him like, as like a four starter, yeah. Number four. I think he'd be an excellent four
starter.
Start
him off at four, and if he does better, move him off.
But, right, they got a lot of money locked up in him, so they can't really do that. He's got to be the pitcher that they traded for. Yeah. So let's see what he can do.
The thing is, though, with pitching, you know, besides the very beginning of the season and in the playoffs, you know, with three-game series to sometimes four-game series, you know, it's just pitchers will pitch on random days. Mm-hmm. So eventually the number of the rotation doesn't even matter, you know,
right.
When you're in the deep of June. So I don't know. I just want him to get back to form.
Yeah, and he has to. I mean, you got to have – I think Masterson's going to bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to have him come back here and bounce into our second – you know, being the strong number two guy. I'm just trying to look up his stats from this past Monday when he pitched. And, of course, they're showing me everybody else's stats but his. But it looks like he had 5 strikeouts in the game.
Okay.
Which is a strong outing. Yeah, here we go. He 5.1 innings pitched, gave up 7 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts.
I like it.
That's right. I mean, if he's got one more start and he can get the next start to be like that, that's going to be a beautiful thing.
He's on a good pace, then.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So then number three we're looking at here, Brett Myers. You talk about a yo-yo of a spring training for a guy.
I was listening to his start against, I think it was Texas. What was it, like, probably like a week ago Sunday. And he had a pretty good start, but then he was giving up home runs and this and that. So, but that was also probably, you know, spring training fatigue. But, you know, he had a pretty good first 3 innings.
Yeah. And this is a guy that's coming from being in the bullpen, and they're working him back into being a starter.
Yeah, and he used to play for Houston. So
the thing that's making me very nervous about our rotation here is number two, Yobaldo. You know, he's given up 19 hits already or more. This was before his last start. That's a lot of hits in 13 innings, 19 hits. That's bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's getting the ball over the plate, but he's getting hit. Then we got Brett Myers in there who, as Anthony has on the show notes, that he's had a yo-yo of a spring training. Adam said, you know, he pitches well for 3 innings. All of a sudden, he's rocked. Those two guys in the middle of the rotation are getting me a little bit nervous. Those two spots should be solid foundation for you, and they're a little shaky right now.
Yeah, but with Ubaldo, in fairness to him with the hits, he also doesn't have a full major league outfield and infield behind him yet, because you're still having the minor leaguers playing the field for during spring training.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, you know, you would have a different catcher because Santana was at World Baseball. Champion Santana.
Yeah.
He's
a pretty big deal.
So, you know, with not having your starting catcher and your full, you know, starting field, you know, maybe some of those hits could have been prevented.
Yeah, it's a possibility. But you got to look at it. I mean, 7.11 ERA in four games, 19 hits.
Yeah, the ERA, that's, yeah.
12 runs.
That's Brett Myers you're talking about now?
That's Brett Myers.
Yeah, so both. Well, Ubaldo lowered his ERA to 4.9. Yeah. That's good, but they both are a little
shaky.
Oh, I'm
sorry. You were talking about Ubaldo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
yeah, I'm sorry. But, I mean, Myers is in the same situation here.
Yeah.
He's the one guy out of the five that makes me nervous. I was really hoping he would be the guy that would come in and be Mr. Consistency. I think that's going to end up being Kazmir instead of Myers.
Ooh, I would like that. I'm a little worried. I love Kazmir. I love watching him pitch, but I'm worried that he can't go for an extended time. You know, like 5, 6, 7 innings.
Yeah.
Is he going to be tired out? And then not only that, but 10 starts. After 10 starts, is his arm going to get tired? Is he going to be able to, you know, be in it for the marathon that the Major League Baseball season is? That's the key.
Yeah.
Derek Lowe.
Yeah.
Last year.
I mean, we also got to remember, one of these guys may not be here by Memorial Day. You might have Trevor Bauer.
Definitely.
So.
Or Carlos Carrasco. Yeah. I think if it's going to be one of those guys going, I think it's going to probably be Brett Meyer. But number four in the rotation, we got Zach McAllister, who was just announced recently. So far this season, or this spring training, he's got a 5.02 ERA in five games. He's got 16 hits and 14.1 innings pitched.
These numbers are not sounding good.
8 earned runs. He's got 9 strikeouts and given up 2 dingers. And I think those 2 homers. He's also hit 2 batters. So I think he's just working on his accuracy. That's his thing, you know. And I was kind of surprised with how quickly Terry Francona named him a starter.
Well, I think he earned it last year. He did pretty well last year in his rookie season. I think he had 6 wins, and he held the rotation together there for a while when we really didn't have much.
Yeah,
very true.
So I agree with McAllister. Actually, you know, I'm least worried about McAllister, Masterson, and Kazmir. And I'm most worried about Myers and Ubaldo. But maybe that'll switch around. Who knows?
Yeah. And then number five, like we've been talking about, is Scott Kazmir. So far, the guy's been a stud.
I love watching him pitch, man. The lefty, that's what we needed. We've needed a lefty for a while. And he's just so smooth out there. Yeah. The ball's dropping off the table. He's got filthy stuff. I just really hope that he could stay healthy.
Yeah.
He could be in it for the long run.
Yeah, and he's not really that old of a guy.
How old is he?
He's 29, I believe.
29,
Wow.
Yeah.
So
he could be a steal.
He's had these injuries.
Yeah.
You look at him, and is he more Derek Lowe, or is he more Paul Byrd and Kevin Millwood?
I don't think he's
any
of them.
I think he's better than all those.
Yeah.
If he reaches his potential,
yeah,
he could potentially be one of our best definite free agent acquisitions, like just signing off of an unsigned team or I don't know. It seems like it's almost too good to be true right now that nobody else would pick him up, that he's pitched impeccably so far in spring training.
Yeah.
That I'm getting a little too excited about him, but so I want to temper it, my enthusiasm, but I think he's going to be the real deal, at least for the first half of the season.
See, my vote goes to Carlos Carrasco, but it has nothing to do with the numbers on the field. It was about 2 years ago.
in the Kansas City game?
No, it was actually against White Sox. I used to be a summer camp counselor, and I know this sounds kind of weird, but one of the little boys, I became like his role model.
Mm-hmm.
And I became friends with his parents and everything. And every year I'd take him to an Indians game for his birthday. And there was a rain delay. It wasn't anything too awful. So we're walking around the park. And we got hot dogs from the guys, the hot dog guys outside. And we're standing near the parking lot. And we're just seeing this head in a trunk, you know, fidgeting, looking for something. It was Carlos Carrasco. And he's outside. He's switching his license plate. And mind you, he had a start that night.
What?
Yeah. And so we called him over, and he took a picture with us and everything. And then he got...
It was during a rain delay?
Yeah, during a rain delay. I have a picture, and we can post it on the website later.
He was putting a new license plate on his car?
And this little boy just thought it was the funniest thing. And he looked, and at the time, he was like 10, and he goes, I bet he ran a red light. And I'm like,
switching it.
So he's just switching it. I'm like, no, I don't know. And but the thing was, I couldn't even tell the kid because I'm like, I don't know why. With all the times you have to switch your license plate around,
why would you do it during a rain delay?
But I have pictures of the act, and I have a picture because then he came up to us and we, you know, flipped the phone around and took it all three of us. So there's proof in everything.
He shouldn't be your favorite anymore because he's going to hate you after this goes live. He's going to be like, now they know that I was switching my license plate.
Hey, it's better than, you know, having hot dogs and beers in the clubhouse in Boston.
Yes, that's true.
Or we find out that he is the real Fausto Carmona, and they're just doing a whole conspiracy with their names. They're just flipping around the titles.
That's
and
why
everything.
He was switching it.
So I might cause a huge ruckus, but yeah, there's pictures and everything that I'd love to post on the website.
Okay. Oh, yeah, in our show notes.
Yeah,
let
and
me
I,
take
I've
note
got,
of that.
I've got one to post of Carlos Carrasco at Tribe Fest. When we were walking through the clubhouse, you know, he was sitting in there getting ready to go in to have some work done on his arm, just, you know, get some physical therapy. And the guy was so cool. When we were walking through the line, actually, you know, Mike Aviles out in the parking deck was sitting, not in the parking deck changing his license plate, but where they had the players, you know, signing autographs. Mike Aviles was, you know, making my son's arm, you know, do a throwing motion. And we moved over to Carlos Carrasco, and Carlos Carrasco was picked my son up and was kind of dancing him around, you know, this little, you know, 4-month-old kid. But then we got to the club or into the clubhouse, and Carrasco was in there, and he saw my son, and he recognized us from it being in the line. And came over. I'm like, hey, man, I know you got to go in there and you got to, you know, you're busy, but can we get a quick picture with you? And he came out from behind the chains.
Cool.
And took pictures with us. You know, it was really cool to my nephew. And, you know, just a great.
Tribe Fest was a great.
He won me over with that. So I really am hoping that at some point I get to see him up here again and get to cheer him on.
All right. Now, Nick, your turn to tell us about your Carlos Carrasco pictures. We all have them.
That's what he's worried about. Scene Magazine's going to have coming out on.
Well, yeah.
About,
I mean,
Carlos Carrasco and
I
Nick.
Found his address on the internet. And I was caught outside his house, you know, in a tree taking photos of Carrasco at night. So,
Joe, could we hopefully edit this out?
That is not what the Scene wants to interview me about.
Yes. Yeah, I will love it, though, if they do.
I think the moral of the story is we love Carlos Carrasco here on Warpath mm-hmm. Podcast.
We do, and we got to get him on here.
Until Scott Kazmir gets a picture with you,
but
you know.
Hey, I will be fine with Carrasco taking Brett Meyer's spot.
I will, too.
Okay, there we go.
But real quick, back to Kazmir. His stats so far, according to Major League Baseball, in three games, he has a 0.0 ERA.
Just unbelievable.
In eight innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts.
1 walk. That's great.
That's filthy. That's just filthy.
Eight strikeouts in 8 innings. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he's using his time off to work with the minor leaguers and work on his pitching, make sure everything's strong. He wants to be, you know, that filthy guy out there. You know,
his speed is up too. 92-93.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
that's right, all you could ask for.
That if you can get that guy throwing the ball from the left side of the plate and be that stopper at the back end,
I would love it. And I'm actually excited about, Adam talked about him earlier, Trevor Bauer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think I read somewhere that his contract situation, he can't come up until after May or something like that, or he loses a year of arbitration. So I'm thinking that that's why he's not on the opening day roster. But I'll bet you we're going to see him fairly early in the season.
Oh, by June 1st then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he had a rough outing this last time out. You know, he was having some problems with his consistency. But I don't think you trade what you traded and spend what you spend on a guy like that and leave him down in the minors for too long.
No.
No.
You know, it's all about free agency.
And the publicity that he's been given.
Oh, yeah.
So, potentially, we have Kazmir at the back end. We got Trevor Bauer and Carlos Carrasco in the minors. Mm-hmm. We got Dice K in the minors, in case.
He's pitched very well.
And then we got, I believe, Corey Kluber, mm-hmm. Also was up a little bit last year, and he's in the minors too. So I think, actually, the Columbus rotation is going to be pretty damn strong.
Bring on that Governor's Cup.
There we go.
There we go.
So we got a lot of exciting things pitching-wise at AAA. So let's hope... you know, they stay there just because that means the major league team is doing great. Exactly. But if they're not, we got some backup.
Yeah. And then, you know, so we've talked about the starting rotation. Let's talk about the bullpen here. You know the guys that are in. Joe Smith, Rich Hill, Cody Allen.
Perez.
Well, we're going to get to Chris Perez and your boy, Vinny P.
You can't stop Vinny P.
Oh, dream weaver. That's what I just saw. Well, I watched Wayne's World the other day, too. But that's what you see these two, you know, Italian Goombas over here. Just you could just see the hearts and Vinny P's picture just floating in this room.
You see my Twitter background?
No, what is it?
It's Vinny Pistano custom design.
Nick, here's my question.
I'm probably his biggest fan.
In the Scene magazine, you know, in your...
Oh, I'll definitely mention
at your
him.
Desk, you know, at Contempo Communications, are you going to show... Are you going to show put a on desktop the wall... Up. You got the big, you know, construction paper heart with the glitter around it and Vinny P's picture in the middle. Are you going to...
You know, well, I'm gonna break both your hearts right now. I love Vinny P, but you two are very proud Italians. So if Vinny P was a very proud Italian, why was he pitching for America, not Italy?
Hey, I'm American. Nick's American.
We're Italian-Americans,
my friend. We're Italian-Americans.
Good thing they didn't call me out for being Polish. It's like, we don't even have a team.
Yeah. Yeah, where's Team Poland at?
Dude, this weather back here is crazy. I just keep looking back here, and it's a blizzard, and then 5 minutes later, it's like blue skies and beautiful.
It is.
I don't get it. Anyways.
Anyway, so back to this. Yeah, Vinny P, we love you, and you know, you'll read more about us in Scene Magazine probably.
Nothing at least funny, though.
Nothing funny, nothing tutti frutti, as we said earlier, so... But
our gay listeners out there, we apologize for.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Don't take any offense.
Yeah, don't take any offense. It's there's nothing wrong with it. But where the hell are we now? I'm so just thrown off now by the weather.
Yeah, because you two are falling in love, and I'm the only one keeping track. We originally started Chris Perez. And then we went to Vinny P because the moment you say Vinny P,
eyes glaze over.
I was going to talk about Joe Smith, Rich Hill, and Cody Allen.
I feel like I just fell asleep and woke up to a Nicholas Sparks movie. Like, it's just watching these two just drool everywhere. It's like Noah's Ark in here or Niagara Falls, and it's just, oh, please, Lord, forgive me. Let's continue.
So speaking truthfully about Vinny P, I was kind of upset about his meltdown in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, but Francona wasn't.
He said it was fine. You know, he's going to be okay. But Vinny P is the hardest man on himself.
Yeah.
And you know, he was very upset about it. He even tweeted about it that, you know, he expects more. And, you know, it's a learning experience. So, and I know he's going to take that to heart. And during the regular season, he's going to, you know, close the door in the eighth inning.
Let him choke during the World Baseball Classic instead of the Fall Classic.
Where it doesn't really count for anything.
No, it's just a pride thing where, you know, let him get it out of the way and, you know, get him ready for the Fall Classic.
And I think that's actually very true. You know, you get that out of your system now. You go in, you work on it, and then opening day, boom. I actually think he's our closer on opening day.
He could be. Yeah. And I think during that game, I'm not sure. I don't think it was like a game that they were winning and he gave it up. I think they were already losing the game, and then they added two runs.
And I mean, let's be honest. Of the pitching staff in the World Baseball Classics, Vinny P was really the glue for the team.
He did well.
He had an awesome, you know, spring at the WBC. So nobody can knock the guy. That just happened.
And it was against the Dominicans, who won the whole thing and swept the whole board.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
so there you go.
Exactly. So
tough competition.
Yeah. Tough competition. Well,
toughest competition.
You know, the other guy that we, you know, we'll talk about Joe Smith, Rich Hill, and Cody Allen, and who else might be in just a second. But the other guy that's in the bullpen that we know of, Chris Perez, he feels that his shoulder's fine.
100%, he said. So
100%.
That's because of my dad said that. I told you guys a few episodes. He didn't want to pitch in the Classic.
You did
and
say that.
And then he was dancing along with everybody in the Harlem Shake. He was fine to begin with.
Oh, yeah, he was whipping that cane around pretty easily.
Yes, yes, he was. My dad said, no, he just doesn't want to pitch in the Classic.
And I hope that's not what
Father
it was.
Knows best.
He does. He does. And you didn't do the impersonation, so.
No, no, no.
Hey, you've been
that's only
that.
When he makes
yeah, how fun exactly of me. Did he say that?
I swear he faked it. I swear.
Well.
All right, Mr. Wilson, calm down.
Who knows? Maybe he's right. All I care is CP going to be there?
Yeah, I mean,
when he's needed.
I just, you know, I hope that they just, if he is hurt, shut him down until, at least until opening day in Cleveland. Don't bother with, you know, in Toronto and Tampa Bay, because I think we go Toronto, Tampa Bay, and then New York.
Okay.
Don't bother with it. Just shut him down. Make sure that shoulder's, because it's going to be a long season. You got enough guys in there that can close out the games for you.
Well, bad arm or good arm, you could probably still throw better than Brandon Whedon.
Oh. Don't get Anthony started about that kind of stuff.
All right, next subject, back to Chris Perez.
Wow. Actually,
Mr. Steelers fan over here.
Oh.
You just sold the man out.
Yeah.
Just sold.
Oh yeah,
all you
baseball fans out there, Cleveland fans, don't take a word that Joe Fabiz says seriously, because he is nothing more than a Pittsburgh Squealers fan.
Wow.
Right
wow.
there. What are you going to do about it?
His face is as pink as his shirt.
Oh, yeah, he was trying to hide that. See? Oh. Look, all of a sudden now he's like, oh.
I thought we had a discussion about this.
I actually never knew this.
No. All right.
Well, hey,
so,
it's good. It's on the table now.
On the table now. And just to quickly, calm the Browns fans down.
It explains the Yangling. It explains the Yangling.
Uh-huh. Exactly. See?
Shit. I have nothing to apologize about. My family's from Pittsburgh. I grew up.
Yeah.
And we would go to my uncle's house on Sundays, every Sunday. And he got only the Youngstown television stations to watch football. And everybody in my family was Steelers fans. I grew up going to, you know, watching the Youngstown television stations with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I did not know there was a Cleveland Browns team until I was 9 years old. And it was at Holy Family Parish.
Well, that was actually the same
school.
With me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, because we didn't have a Browns when I was nine.
Exactly.
Yeah, you didn't have Browns when you were nine. But we went to school and we had our, you know, wear your team colors day. I wore my Pittsburgh Steelers shirt and I got the absolute snot kicked out of me during the day. And I'm like, why are you guys hitting me? They're like,
did you go to Catholic school?
I did.
Yeah. Then you had to go to confession.
I did. And the priest beat me up too. But,
damn right.
I got the snot kicked out of me. I says, well, why are you guys hitting me? They says, because you're not a Browns fan. You're a Steelers fan. We hate the Steelers. I'm like, yeah, but who are the Browns? And I mean, I was just kind of ignorant to who, you know, they were playing. I just knew the Steelers. And, it was when I was 9 years old.
All right, that's enough of that. Nobody cares about your Steelers fantasies.
Wow,
let's
man.
Go.
This is my point here. We may be cutting this one out.
No,
but
we're not cutting anything.
I got final editing.
This is good. We're just laying it all the cards on the table.
Or is it time for the lineup?
All right. Well, let's talk about the rest of the bullpen.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Because
that's
we've got Joe Smith, Rich Hill, and Cody Allen who are in. You knew Joe Smith was in.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Vinny P's setup guy. Rich Hill and Cody Allen. Cody Allen has had an outstanding spring.
Yep.
Where else? You know, I've heard that they may not keep a whole lot of guys in the bullpen at the start.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty large bench to begin with.
So wait. Let's go back a little bit. Cody Allen has had an outstanding spring.
All right, he hasn't had a...
Let me... His stats here, 9.64 ERA, 4.2 innings.
Five games. He's given up six hits. He's still got a better average than some of our starters.
9.64 is better?
But he's got
That's
eight strikeouts.
Good. That's pretty good in four innings.
In four
That's
innings,
That's like Vinny P numbers
strikeouts.
Right there.
Yeah. I mean, and again, this is guys going in, and they're, you know, just working their stuff out.
Yeah, I just remembered that because Francona, I think, said, you know, Alan, you're pushing it really hard. I could tell you're pressing. I'm going to tell you, you made the team. Is that going to make you feel better about it and not have to press so hard in spring training? And, you know, obviously it lifted a whole weight off his shoulders and he's been doing better. But
again, 8 strikeouts.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah.
Just not the 10 ERA.
So, no, and I should rephrase it, you know, from a strikeout standpoint, he's had an excellent spring training so far. Rich Hill, he's our, you know, lefty in the bullpen. We're looking at, he's got a 0.0 ERA right now in 7 games. He's pitched 6.2 innings with 10 strikeouts.
Where did we get him?
He was with Boston last. No, he was with...
Was he in one of the trades or one of the signings that we did this year?
He doesn't even show us he was in the majors last year.
Okay, so he was a minor leaguer probably.
Diamondback in the Diamondbacks organization.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Or Cincinnati, one of those two, in the 3-way trade with Chu.
Yeah, and I think that's actually where he did come from. But, you know, he's had a... There's a guy. Okay, I'll say it. He's had an outstanding spring training.
I'm just looking for anything to get you on today since I... outed that Steelers comment.
Yeah, I'm going to out you. No. I don't know what on, but...
just wait till that Cleveland Scene magazine comes out.
you know, but who... I mean, do we see Nick Hagedorn coming in?
I like Hagedorn a lot. Yeah. Besides the fact that he punched the wall and broke his hand or something last year.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
I really thought he had some good stuff. And he was a lefty. Or he is lefty. And, yeah, I think... he's going to be somebody that probably comes up sooner rather than later.
I mean, he's another guy, 0.0 ERA in 6 games, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks, 4 hits. Major League Jake and I were talking about it on Saturday, and he seems to think that Hagedorn's the guy that's going to be in.
Oh, I like Hagedorn a lot. Yeah. Rich Hill, I just looked up his previous history, and it looks like he was on Boston last year.
That was 2011.
2011, yeah. 2010, he was on St. Louis. Chicago, National League, the Cubs from 08 back to 06. So he's been in the league for a while.
Yeah, he's been around. You know, I know that they purchased his contract from Columbus.
Not too much, though. He didn't really pitch that many games in each of those years, like 6 games in each one.
Yeah, so he may just be a... Oh, you know what? Tommy John surgery.
Oh, okay.
Womp, womp, womp.
But
yeah, maybe we will go Hagedorn.
Yeah, but you know what? Those guys come back.
They can come
with
back
some
strong.
Wicked strength on that elbow.
Yeah, it's like rookie of the year.
Yeah,
exactly.
Tendons are just so strong that they're on 102.
Can't help it.
Yeah,
yeah, and I mean, and he's got history with Terry Francona, so that's a big thing.
That's
right
true.
There, you know, from being over there. So let's move on from the bullpen and the lineup. Who bats where and. You know, here's the first question. Can the bats stay alive breaking camp?
I'm least worried about the bats. I think the pitching rotation is it's got me a little nervous, but the bats, I think, will, you know, stay pretty hot.
Hats for bats. Keep them powerful. That's, like, you know, in Major League.
I do know.
Yeah, in case they're both looking at me like I'm crazy. Yeah, well,
you are crazy.
Well, Soriano, that's how they looked at him in the movie, too.
But Soriano? Not Soriano.
Yes. Wait, what?
Did you say Soriano?
Soriano.
He's young. He's young.
You
people.
Mean Serrano.
Serrano.
Pedro Serrano. Pedro yeah. Serrano. There you go. Yeah.
Did you Alfonso guys see the Soriano. Article the other day about Yahoo?
Yeah. Who the Indians players would be.
And that was funny. They couldn't figure out.
There was not many characters, so they're like Bourne is, I guess, Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah. But they
Perez,
like three
wild
of them
thing.
Said they wanted to be Wild
everybody,
Thing.
Everybody wanted to be Wild Thing.
I'll be Wild Thing. You know, what we did was we actually went through, the three of us, and we made our own starting day lineup.
Yeah.
Or opening day lineup.
As if we were Francona.
Yeah, as if we're Francona. So, Nick, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and put your Terry Francona hat on and tell us who your 1 through 9 are.
Okay. Or his bald cap.
Exactly.
His bald cap?
His bald cap.
Because he's bald. Okay. So.
I thought that was a joke about my hair.
No.
Receding hairline. Sorry, there's another dig at you.
That's from the back to the front, though.
that leading off, Michael Bourne playing center field. Number 2, Michael Brantley in left field. Number three, as Drubal Cabrera playing short, cleanup hitter, Nick Swisher at first base. Number five in the lineup, I have Mark Reynolds, the DH. Number six, I have Carlos Santana, the catcher. Number seven, I have Jason Kipnis, which as I was filling this out, I was like, man, this is a pretty good lineup if Kipnis is hitting seventh. Mm-hmm. Then I got Chisenhall, eighth, playing third base. Obviously, Kipnis would play second, and then Drew Stubbs, number nine in center field, or right field, I'm sorry.
Adam's shaking his head.
No, I think Kipnis is way earlier in the lineup.
Okay, that's what I was interested way in, what everybody else would in the think.
I might as well just go and say mine, yeah, and then we compare them.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael Bourne, we both agree on.
Definitely.
Number one. Two, Kipnis. Three, AC.
Okay.
Four is Santana.
Oh.
Because I wanted the power to be cleanup. Five, because I think it'd be a good follow-up to the cleanup, would be Swisher.
Okay.
Six would be Brantley. Seven is Mark Reynolds.
Wow.
Eight, Mark Avilas.
Oh, yes. Mike Avilas.
Or did I say Mark? Yeah. Mike Avilas.
At third.
At third, yes. I think he's going to be starting third. He's been killing in the WBC.
Okay.
You know, Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Second place. And then ninth is Drew Stubbs.
Interesting lineup there.
Yeah.
Wow. I actually had Kipnis. Well, let me see here. I had scratched out number two. At first, I put Cabrera. Scratch that out. Then I put Kipnis. Scratch that out. And then I put Brantley. So I was shaky on that second spot in the lineup.
The reason why I put Brantley at six is because I feel like everyone in front of him is a lot faster.
Okay.
Well, Santana is mainly about power, but I still feel like he's faster.
Or faster than Brantley?
Maybe not faster.
We got the fastest outfield in the majors.
It's a fast outfield, but my point being is I think they're more consistent power at four. So I'm substituting more for power than speed. But definitely the top three I'm very certain on. And Swish for fifth.
Yeah, I put Brantley number two, not number four. I had Swisher four. Is that what you're saying? That you thought I had Brantley four?
No, I thought you had Brantley as two.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay.
Which is where, Nick, you and I are one and two the same. I went Bourne one, Stubbs two. And as I thought about it, that's a lot of speed at the front end, but I don't know if the average is there for your number two guy.
Yeah, two is usually a contact guy.
You know, you want a contact guy, so I'd switch Brantley to number two.
Okay.
Number three, I've got Lonnie
Chisenhall. Whoa, I would love that.
He's hitting snot out of the ball, and I think they give him the chance to prove himself at number three because he's protected in front by a power or by a contact hitter and behind him by a guy, Nick Swisher, at number four.
All right.
And then I've got Mark Reynolds at number five. Carlos Santana at number six. I got his Drubal Cabrera at number
seven.
No
way. Wow.
Which is crazy because, I mean, that shows you what we've got in our lineup, that you can drop a guy like him back. And I think it helps him, again, with, you know, with his numbers. But I think it also pushes him to maybe stay a little bit, you know, more in the game through the whole season instead of just half a season. And there was another reason that I won't talk about because you've looked at me and you've already outed me on two things now.
Uh-oh. What was the other thing?
Just, you know, with Asdrubal.
Oh, yeah.
We won't talk about. but then Jason Kipnis is number eight. And
oh, wow.
Stubbs at number nine because you put Stubbs then at the back of the order and you've got speed, contact.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be an interesting exercise. We have a lot of pretty different...
I want to see what it is on opening day. I don't want to say we put money on this, but we got to put like a crown on this.
Let's put $5 on it. I'll put $5 on it.
I got five on it.
Five on it.
Let's put it on the. I'll put it on the show notes too.
Yeah.
Opening
day lineups.
Yeah. And
closest.
Wait, is this opening day home opener or
this is April 2nd?
April 2nd.
Oh, April 2nd. Okay.
First day of the season. Whoever has the closest.
All right.
You know, I'm
actually going. Instead of putting five on it, why don't we just whoever. Well, the guys who lose have to buy dinner on our next podcast or something.
Deal.
All right. That would be
or the beer.
Two podcasts. No, it would be the next podcast. It would be the day after.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
And by that point, I'll just to let everyone know, I'm vegetarian for the last 5 weeks. By Easter, I'll be eating meat. So
sausage and pepperoni.
Yeah. There's a melt across the street from us.
Oh.
You know, bring the Godfather in, or
wow,
or the Big Lebowski for my people.
Okay.
So
I like that.
For my people.
For my people.
All right, that sounds good. That sounds good. So, you know, talking about the lineup, we wanted to also talk about, you know, I want to get some predictions here, and I think this would actually be kind of fun to see, you know, maybe at the end of the season, you know, where our predictions stand. But home runs, stolen bases, and Ks. Who leads the team in each?
I'm talking Ks. Whew. Oh, man, I'm still going to have to go with Mark Reynolds.
Yeah. That's it's either going to be Mark Reynolds or Stubbs. I'm going to pick Reynolds, too, to lead the team, definitely.
M-A-R-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K-K.
Only because of how well-protected he is in the lineup, I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to say Stubbs.
Okay.
So, you writing this down, Nick?
Yeah.
All right. And then home runs.
I'm going to give you a wild card. I'm going to say Kipnis.
That's a pretty big wild card there. Let's see.
I just want to go outside the box.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Reynolds. I think he's going to lead in Ks and strikeouts. He's got the potential to hit 40. But Swisher is pretty consistently in the 25 to 30 range.
No, that's true.
I'm gonna go Reynolds.
Reynolds, all right. All right, so for me, I look at it this way. I want it to be Lonnie Chisholm Hall. As I said 2 weeks ago, that's the guy that I'm watching. I think he's maybe third on the team at home runs.
I would like that.
To me, it's behind two or between two guys. It's going to be between Swisher and I think Carlos Santana.
Definitely. I could see that.
I see it. I'm just really rooting for my boy, Jason Kipnis.
I think Kipnis has a sweet swing. And when he first came up that rookie year, didn't he hit like seven homers in like the last 15 or 20 games of the year?
Something like that, yeah.
So he's got the potential.
All right, I'm going with Swisher.
I think that's a pretty good
choice. My only fear with Santana is being a catcher, that the knees might wear out.
Yeah.
So I'm in a Swisher's just a durable guy.
Stolen bases, I mean, this Born.
This could be a fun one, though. I mean, it could be, but you've got Born, you've got Stubbs.
Kipnis had 30 stolen bases last year, I believe.
Yeah.
31. Brantley's got some speed. I'm going to go Bourne.
They're going to push each other this year.
Didn't Bourne lead the National League in stolen bases?
He did, yeah. And I'm going to
Bourne then Stubbs.
I'm going to say the same answer for that, too.
What about RBIs? Let's do RBIs. Because did you pick Bourne, too, Anthony?
No, I did not. I am going to go with I'm going to go with Bourne also.
Okay.
I want to go with Stubbs, but I'm also picking him for most strikeouts. So
if we're going to go RBIs, due to the order that I have predicted, part of me wants to say Santana for that one.
Okay.
Because I feel like Boren is going to get screwed with the bottom part of the lineup. Too many strikeouts.
Are you talking about Brantley?
Oh, I'm talking Boren. Because if he's batting one and he has to rely on Reynolds or Stubbs being on base
right. With
the strikeouts that we're predicting, that might affect Bourne's RBIs. So I'm going to go with Santana because I have Struble, Kipnis, and Bourne playing 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. I think I'm going to pick Swisher as the RBI leader for the Tribe.
My pick, Lonnie Chisholm.
You're going out on a limb with this guy
I mean, if he's batting third and he's got Brantley and Bourne before him, Stubbs and Kipnis, if the lineup is the way that I pick it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance he starts batting third.
If we're gambling on food, you might as well just take me to the grocery store right now.
Well, I think.
I mean, he's definitely hot in spring training.
Are we going the sandwich? We're going sandwich on the starting lineup.
For sure. Yeah. We didn't make a bet on this. This is, as of now, friendly.
Yeah.
I'm going with Chisholm Hall. I think he's hitting this.
He's definitely mashing it in spring training. He's mashing 389 average, 10 RBI, tied for second on the team. Swisher's the lead in RBI. He's got 3 homers. He's got 4 doubles, 14 hits, 11 runs.
I think he's going to be our extra base machine. I don't think, you know, he's not going to be, you know, home run king. He's going to be up there in the home, what did I say, maybe 3rd on the team in home runs. But I think he's going to be the doubles killer there.
Okay.
All right. And then runs. Let's go with runs.
I'm going to have to go Bourne is going to lead in runs.
Kip Daddy.
Oh, that's a good pick, actually.
Yeah. Actually, I think I'm going to go with Kip Nassasa.
Okay.
Actually, it would be kind of fun to put this up on the...
we'll put it in the show notes.
Put it in the show notes, and then, you know, maybe we make a little contest out of it, you know, with the listeners. And at the end of the season, you know, whoever has the most, you know, correct out of the listeners, maybe we send them a poster too.
I'd love it. Or we could have a contest where the listeners, you know, send us a tweet on Twitter, say they want to be a part of it, and then they randomly get one of us as their...
Is their opponent.
Not their opponent, but like they whatever our choices are, that's, you know, our choices are, they become their choices basically. Like we are their player. No, we are their choice.
I'm already a Steelers fan of these people. They're not going to follow me. Shit.
No, they won't. No, they have no choice though.
Why don't they just tweet their lineup?
Lineup or home runs, stolen bases, Ks, RBIs, runs?
Anything.
They can do it on the comments section on the webpage. Go to comments.
Yeah, because they can't tweet it. The comments is a good idea, or a Facebook post on our Facebook wall would work.
Go to the comments, because then we actually can save it and have it all there, and it's listed for everybody.
Yeah.
So I think that's a cool way to do it. So, yeah, go to www.warpathpodcast.com. Go to the comments page. I think that's on the...
You could just leave a comment on episode 4.
Yeah.
Post. So
yeah. Yeah, there you go.
That would work best.
Perfect.
And just put your either your opening day lineup or everything. Your home, who's going to lead in home runs, stolen bases, strikeouts, RBIs, and runs.
Absolutely. That's excellent. So to round out the talk about spring training here, you know, we're getting ready to go to opening day against Toronto. Toronto's made some moves over the offseason. I mean, it was weird. They traded for players and traded their manager.
Yeah, he's in Boston now.
In Boston now. So here's my question for you. What's your predictions? I mean, granted, we're still 2 weeks out, but that game will be played the night before we do the next podcast.
It's all due to how R.A. Dickey's knuckleball turns out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge factor. If that guy's nasty, we're done for. If he, you know, can't get, if he puts spin on that ball, we're up 10 runs.
Yeah,
that's straight up how I see it.
Okay, Nick,
I don't know. I'm hoping for a win. I don't know anything about Toronto. I could care less about every other major league team. All I know about is the Tribe, and all I care about is us winning 90 plus games in 2013.
Well, the reason that we didn't have, you know, trash talk, 20-minute trash talk, was because just it was actually pretty hard to find a Toronto fan around here.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not going to lie. Toronto's one of those teams that I don't hate. I love the town of Toronto.
It's also the division they play in. Yeah. You kind of support them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. So I want to see them do good, just not that week.
Yeah.
I think you're right with R.A. Dickey. If he's throwing some filthy stuff, it's going to be tough to take them down. I mean, they've got a pretty substantial lineup, but...
come on, his name is R.A. Dickey. We're going to beat him.
He's a ginger.
To all our ginger listeners, now that we've offended you as well, please don't turn off the podcast. All our gay and ginger listeners, please don't turn off the podcast.
I think I'm going for a win on opening day. I think... You know, R.A. Dickey, he had an all right outing in the World Baseball Classics.
He lost his first outing.
Yeah, he was all right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're going to go out there. Our guys have been, you know, together for now a couple weeks working on things. I think they're having fun. I think they're going to go out there. And this is going to be, I think, one of those things. Win it for Terry.
Yeah.
You know, start off a good... You know,
oh, yeah.
Good role for the team, you know, bringing in him. And I think it's almost the win set one the for tone. The Gipper. Set the tone.
Yeah, baby.
Exactly. Thank you for pulling that one out for me. So, you know, we'll move on from the baseball side of things to the background, the parts that Nick and I are a little bit more involved in. And today was a big day at the ballpark. They introduced the Premium Club Lounge. And
yeah,
Nick,
which
I'll
is,
let you go ahead and kind of explain it.
Which is actually called the Collection Auto Club.
Yes.
They're the title sponsor. And it was an awesome event today. I was there. I was at, they actually had, let's see, three events today. First, they had an open house for all the Indians employees to come, and they served food, the same food that will be available in the Premium Club, the Collection Auto Club. And they had, you know, a little bit of a presentation about the different items that they wanted to touch on in their media interviews and things like that. So it was an interesting thing, and basically everybody got to walk around and, you know, just gawk at the new club. It's just amazing. Like, everything is top notch, high quality, you know, from the carpet to the seating to the glass front doors that are very cool, to the signage printed by Repros Incorporated, designed by Tribe Designer Contemple Communications. Everything went off without a hitch, and that was great. Then they had another event at 2 p.m. for the media to come in, take a look at it. And I'm sure they did some interviews with Indians PR people. I'm sure they got some video of that, so you might be seeing it tonight on the, you know, the late news or the 6 o'clock news as well. And then also tonight, well, actually it's already past now, but at 5 p.m. to 7:30, I believe they had a tweet up there.
Yeah.
So local bloggers, you know, people like Warpath Podcast should have been invited, but
yeah, what the heck?
That's neither here nor there. But yeah, they had a tweet up for local bloggers, anybody talking Cleveland or talking Tribe baseball. They invited them in. They, you know, they wanted them to take photos, to tweet about their experience there, and just build a nice buzz about the Premium Club. You know, it's going to be very exclusive. Tickets start at, I believe, $150 a seat. So it's pretty much $12,000 for the season, just for one seat. So, you know, you're definitely going to at least buy two seats. So it's you're talking $25,000.
Yeah. And actually, I know that a reason that we're not there is actually Curtis did know that we were doing the podcast.
Because we're doing the podcast. That's
and
why.
And he says, wow, you guys are talking about the Collection Auto Group Club at the same time we're going to be doing this. Is kind of perfect, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, thank you. So it was kind of funny. We probably would, you and I probably would have been there. Adam, I don't know that they would have.
Yeah, they don't let my type in there.
Yeah, but
definitely
no,
would have kicked him out.
You know, probably would have been there, but you know, they knew that we were doing this, and honest to God, I think they looked at me today and said, just go home. Because I was a little exhausted when I got in there for my 13th hour at 8:30. So
yeah, like the graphics that we did for that Anthony and I worked on for the Collection Auto Club on the exterior. Basically, the background, there's wall murals along this whole huge corridor, and it's all original blueprints from when Progressive Field was Jacobs Field was first created and constructed. So they're original architectural blueprints. We blew them up huge, so they're about 8 or 9 feet tall by, I don't know, you probably know better than I how long it was.
One was like 30 feet, the other one was about 50 feet.
Yeah, that's, I thought, true. It might have been even longer than that.
No, actually, I'm sorry, 70 feet, because it was broken up into two pieces. But it was really awesome. What Nick did was he took the original blueprints, blew those up, and then he took the 1994 top series of baseball cards and took four different positions from the field.
Yep.
And took a player from that 1994 team. So we had, who was it? It was Sandy Alomar.
Yep.
Kenny Lofton,
yep,
Jim Thome, and Omar Vizquel.
Exactly.
And so we did these black and white, but they really were blue and white.
Yeah, the Indians' Pantone color is 289 blue. I don't know if anybody cares about that except for design nerds. But we used the Indians' Pantone color. We took the design from the 94 tops and basically just made it a monotone image of that blue color instead of black and white. Mm-hmm. And it looks pretty slick. Then if I do say so myself, sorry, that was kind of arrogant. But anyways, the background image with the blueprints is actually, instead of being blue, it's like a really light, faint gray texture. And then the actual blueprint itself, the drawing part, is a little bit darker gray. Yeah. So you could see that. And, you know, it's subtle, but it's actually fairly bold. Mm-hmm. And if it can be that at the same time. But it, because it's blown up so huge, it just gives a really cool effect. And I think it actually is one of the projects that usually when we print these big projects or when you're designing something at such a huge, large scale, when you see it in person, it looks a little different than what it did when you're on the computer. This one, I think, hits closest of all the projects I've done to what I expected it to look like. So I think Repros did a great job with the color matching and everything. Everything looks beautiful. And the baseball cards are actually on acrylic plastic. I don't know if you said that already, but they're huge. They're like four by 6 foot.
4 foot wide by just short of 6 foot. And these things are monsters. But it's really cool. We were talking about the players from 94. So you had the player from 94, Sandy Alomar, and then you had a baseball card of Carlos Santana.
Yeah, we're comparing, you know, the template from the 94 team. Yeah.
Omar Vizquel, Jason Kipnis, Michael Bourne, Kenny Lofton, Jim Thome, Nick Swisher. It was I have to say, in the ballpark, I mean, I've done a lot of stuff around there and some really cool things. Fausto Carmona being swarmed by the midges was always my favorite picture that we did in there. I think these now are my new favorite things because they look like, what kid wouldn't want to have an oversized baseball card in their bedroom? And everybody that walked by this thing told me, oh my God, how do I get one of these for my basement? And I says, well, you got to get permission first, and then you got to pay me like $600
a piece. Yeah, they're expensive.
It was really just a very cool project. And then you get inside the premium or inside of the Collection Auto Group lounge, and there's these humongous block C lights on the ceilings. There's two bars in there, I think, now.
No, there's one.
There's one bar, but then they have three memorabilia cases set up in there. One with Jim Thome and his silver slugger bat.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Omar Vizquel's glove.
One of his golden
which
glove.
I got to hold, which was
that's cool.
That's freaking awesome.
The gold glove looks really cool.
Yeah, Ashley wouldn't let me touch the silver bat because she was afraid I'd hurt myself.
Oh.
Then the golden glove from Omar, and then they had Kenny Lofton's stolen bases.
Yep.
As record setting or like record for Cleveland's stolen base. So it was with images of them in the dark blue and black.
Yeah,
the
subtle on there.
Background. And then their jerseys in there. And then right next to it was the new Fox Sports, Sports Time Ohio booth that we wrapped with graphics in there that was very cool. So the whole thing, you're going to actually, if you're in that lounge, be able to watch Fox Sports, Sports Time Ohio.
Yeah, they'll be doing their broadcast
live. Do their
live.
Broadcast from there.
That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Especially the post-game show, I think, definitely will be in there.
Yeah, that'll. So I should rephrase it. That's what's going to be in there is the post-game show.
And pregame, I think.
Yeah.
Pregame and postgame.
So if you get in there early enough and you pay the money to be in there, you get to actually be a part of the broadcast of the shows.
That's awesome. Now I'm just jealous of you two. I'm just going to sit here and pout.
Yeah. We are very lucky in what we get to do. You know, for as much as you go home and you're exhausted at the end of the day and you might snip at your wife or something for, you know, something stupid, it really is a lot of fun and very rewarding. We wanted to mention that quickly. I don't know. Do you guys want to quit? You know, why don't we cross out the managers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going to talk about the managers who are in the booth now that, you know, our guys took the place of them, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to move on to Adam's grandmother and some stories about her. Why don't you go ahead?
I was just going to make this really fast because I know we're running out of time, but as you guys know, my grandmother is very ill right now, and I grew very close to her. God, probably, I mean, I've known her. I've loved her forever, but a very, very...
God, I've known my grandma forever.
well, I mean, when she started losing her friends, that was a very hard time for her, and that's when I started calling her every single day since I was 17 years old. And obviously, she knows how much that I love the tribe. And she is currently 91 years old, and she had a stroke back in the early 90s that really made her elderly, very fast. And all her friends were still very active at the time. And ironically, she's the only one still alive out of all of them. So she's having a rough go right now. But when it comes to the Cleveland Indians, you know, being 91 years old, she's seen a lot from that team. And, you know, she'll joke around with me saying, like, oh, I never used to go to the games. I'm not too interested. Then she'll be like, except for when my father used to take me to League Park. So you just go, wow, that's awesome. A long time ago. And then, you know, when she was in her mid-20s, my grandfather, after he killed Hitler and came back over to America.
No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. He's a very modest man. That's why you don't see it in the history books. But he did a lot of stocks in Cleveland. And we have letters from Hall of Famer Hank Greenberg. And he'd be like, dear Mr. Toomey, Al Rosen transferred those stocks for you just to let you know. And, you know, I have the letter to prove it somewhere. My father has shown it to me. And he found it when they were moving my grandparents out of their original home of like 40-some years to an independent unit back in the mid-90s. And he's like, wow. And it had an old Chief Wahoo logo and everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
But the one story, you know, because my grandmother, after the original stroke, her memory is very... She doesn't remember a lot about the past. It has to be a lot with the current. But the one tribe story she will tell you 1,000 times, if you ask or not, was the time in 1987 at the old stadium when Corey Snyder, and she'll start it just like this, oh, your aunt and uncle gave your grandfather such great seats for his birthday. His birthday was 4th of July. The man who killed Hitler, his birthday is 4th of July.
You cannot write this stuff.
No, you can't. So it was a nationally televised game, according to my other uncle. And, you know, she is just this petite little thing. She's probably 5 foot in high heels, you know.
Wow.
And, I mean, mind you, this woman went through the Great Depression and everything. And this story just brings her pain immediately. Corey Snyder hit a foul ball laser straight to her head.
Oh.
And then she had to go to university. I'm pretty sure. No, it might have been Charity Hospital. How can I forget? I've been
told this. So it hit her and everything.
Nailed her. And wow. My mom told me she had a yellow shirt at the time, just covered in red.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, how the tribe is now, great facility when it comes to taking care of fans in a situation. Mm-hmm. Back then, my grandfather had to, you know, pull up the car around the stadium and pick her up. So... If this was a silent film of her just rehashing the story, you would know exactly what she's talking about when she takes both her hands and just goes slowly on top of her head. You just know that is the story she is telling.
Wow.
So the 1987 Indians was the last team she has ever seen. But there is photo document of a field trip that she went with the old folks in, it had to be like 94, maybe 95 of them touring at the time, the Jake.
Okay.
But when it comes to, and I'm sorry that I'm speeding the story up for time, but when it comes to the modern Indians, her favorite promotion that she does not stop talking about, and the only reason she knows this is because of the news, is Puppy Palooza.
Oh, really?
Because, she called my mom one afternoon after watching the 5 o'clock news, and she goes, is Adam and Mark, my brother Mark, are they taking Beatrice to the game? For those who don't know Beatrice, Beatrice is an 85-pound black lab / Wattweiler. And then she just, I mean, mind you, I just visited her at the hospital last week. And she's like, I just don't understand who would bring their dogs to the game. Those dogs aren't going to be paying attention. They're going to be tinkling everywhere. And I'm just like, wow, you just legitimately had a stroke. You're, you know, complaining about, you know, being here, you know, you're being very strong about it. I'll give you that. But your complaint when you're in the hospital bed is about Puppy Palooza. That's what she was worried about is, you know, and then she goes, now, how did they do last year? I'm like, oh, they weren't so great last year. That's probably because they had dogs at their game. She's just twisting every Indian story into Puppy Palooza.
No kidding.
I think they're doing that again this year.
They're doing it twice this year because when I saw promotions, I made sure to tell her. And I'm like, yeah, I guess we're going to have to take Beatrice. And then she starts laughing and then she goes on her rant again.
But you know what? She's right. Those dogs did not pay attention one bit.
No. Nah. And they probably tinkled everywhere.
I guarantee that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
you know, trying to explain to a 91-year-old that it's not about the dog watching the game, it's about the fans enjoying the dogs at the game, especially children. You would have just thought I explained, you know, Chinese ancient government to her. She just nothing I was going to say even mattered.
You know. Well, I got to say it's awesome that you got your grandmother to be able to do that with, because I lost my grandmother about 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, and I think about her every day. And my grandmother, actually, it's funny. She's a little old Italian lady who...
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Figure. But she, when the tribe was good in the mid to late 90s, I never remember my grandmother before then saying anything about baseball.
All of a sudden.
And in the year 2001, I don't remember saying, I got a damn thing about the baseball. But boy, from 95 to 2000, my grandmother was the biggest Indians fan. And we would call over there, and she'd be watching the Indians.
Oh, that's cool.
And she was a little bit of a front runner, though, because...
well, yeah, you just explained
that. Yeah, the years did not just describe it.
There were some years with the Cavs where I remember her watching being a Cavs fan, and then I forget about the Cavs. She actually didn't have an Italian accent, but I'd like to say she did. So.
But yeah, it's like with my grandmother, you go back to the 1948 season, if my grandfather, who died in January of 97, if you would have brought up, you know, the 1948 team, you know, he can go all day about it. And the beautiful part about baseball is it stays in the young boy's heart until the day he dies. Because when I went there, and it was just a huge coincidence, I was wearing my Bob Feller shirt. And, you know, I can name every Indian known to man. She's not going to know him. But I'm like, Grandma, look at my Bob Feller shirt. The guy who's sitting across her table, another older man, and God bless, you know, and support to his family too, because they're going through the same thing I am. You know, he was actually from New York as we started talking, but... He's like, oh, let me see. They just, both of them just lit up. You know, mm-hmm. He was an icon of their era, you know, but it's when, if I go, Grandma, where were you during the 1948 World Series? Her response would be, oh, I didn't pay attention to that. I was having babies. You know, so God bless her. And, you know, to all, you know, the New Yorker, you know, to their family and to mine, you know, it's been rough, but you know, it's times where we need baseball and the Indians to help us, you know, carry on and, definitely, you know, and relax from those moments.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, when my grandfather passed away, actually, he was a huge baseball fan. He was like, you know, your guys' grandmothers to you. My grandfather was that to me. And, you know, when I was at his funeral, I had this little Indians pin. I just started working for the Indians a couple months before that. And I moved back to Cleveland. I got the job, and he thought it was so cool, you know, that I was working on the Indians graphics. He didn't really understand what I did, but he just thought it was cool. And so when I worked downtown one day, one of the sales guys, or I can't remember who gave it to me, they gave me this. They were wearing a Chief Wahoo pin on their lapel, and I said, "Man, that's a really cool pin." And they said, "Oh, you want it?" They took it off, gave it to me, and I was like, "Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you very much." And when my grandfather ended up passing away a couple months later, I took that same pin and I put it on his lapel when he was in, you know, his casket or whatever, and. You know, so he's a Tribe fan for life now, forever.
That's beautiful.
And afterlife, yeah. Too.
That's so beautiful.
That is. Well,
before we start all balling here at the table, let's finish up the show. Yeah.
Well, hey, real quick, I just wanted to mention, if people want to see what's going on in the ballpark, the different, you know, things that we've talked about, Cleveland.com has a new video online. What's Cleveland Indians unveil what's new at Progressive Field for 2013.
Cool. I'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah. So check that out. You know, just the closing notes here. You know, if you want to sponsor the show or be a guest blogger, tweet us or message us on Warpath Podcast Facebook page, or send a comment to us at www.warpathpodcast.com, or just email me for sponsorship information at JLaGuardia, that's LAGUARDIA, at hotmail.com. I'll get in touch with you. And then, you know, we'll talk about that. We talked about the upcoming Warpath Podcast night out. It's looking like it's, you know, going to be April 20th at the Foundry in Lakewood, Ohio. And it's going to be a show of none other than our good friend Joe Fortunato's band, Venom and James. So if you like the music at the beginning of the podcast, or you've checked them out.
Wait, I thought his name was John.
No, I'm getting it all right today.
Don't fluster him. He's on the right path.
I'm on a roll here. I've already been beaten up enough in this episode. But, you know, we're going to go see Venom and James. The founder's got great bar food, great beer. Going to go out, listen to the band, and party. So, you know, we'll be putting information about that up on the website and on the Facebook and Twitter pages. Also, we have the Twitter Facebook contest that we did, and Nick's got some news on that.
Yeah, so we had a contest on Twitter. We didn't do Facebook contest yet. We're going to be doing that upcoming. But on Twitter, we used hashtag Warpath Podcast, and we sent it out to all of our fans and said, you know, make a tweet, use hashtag Warpath Podcast, and whoever gets the most retweets would win a custom designed poster of their all-time favorite Indians player by yours truly. So the three top vote getters were Railbird J, who is Alan Fee actually introduced us to.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a huge promoter, and we really got to get together with him. And we want to say a special thank you to him for promoting the hell out of Warpath Podcast over the past week. Railbird J, Zombie Klee Fan 45.
Nice.
And Darth Chef 79. So these three guys had the most, or girls, I believe they're all guys, had the most retweets. And the winner was Zombie CLE Fan 45. But you know what? Because we had three that were really helpful in this contest, I'm going to do a poster for each one of those guys. And Repros Incorporated, of course, is going to be providing the great printing quality.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Zombie Klee Fan said Kipnis is his favorite player, so he'll be getting a Kipnis poster. I'm going to have to ask Railbird J who he wants. And in Darth Chef's tweet, he specifically mentioned Carlos Santana being in mid-season form with that bomb he hit in the World Baseball Classic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming he wants a Carlos Santana design. We're going to contact each one of these three guys individually and explain that, you know, they all won the contest, and they're going to be able to either pick up their poster if they're within the Cleveland area at Repros Incorporated. Mm-hmm. Will we be able to have that right at the front desk?
We can have that at the front desk, or we can actually, you know...
Or we can mail that out.
Just mail it down to you in a tube. I know that Chef Keith is down in Akron.
Okay, so that one we'll have to mail out for sure.
Yeah, but we'll mail that one out. I know...
Chef Keith? Is that what his name is?
It's Darth Chef 79 is Chef Keith.
Got it.
I know Railbird J is in Medina.
Okay.
And that's actually Josh Flagner.
Yep.
So, we'll get it to you guys some way. If you guys can get to my office and pick it up, even better. If not, we'll get it down to you.
And Zombie Klee Fan 45 is, his name on his Twitter handle is C-Town Swag. So,
he's in Ohio.
He's in Ohio.
But there's location a picture of him online in a Swisher.
All right. Well, he said Kipnis is his favorite, so
yeah, well, we'll get him Kipnis. So.
We'll actually double check with each one of those guys and see who they want, and you know, Tribe Designer on Twitter will throw something together.
I should tweet it for my grandma. Get her a Corey Snyder one.
We could do a Corey Snyder with there a puppy in the bottom.
Now, why would that man be?
We'll have him holding a leash with the dog while he's at home plate.
Nice.
She'll
nice.
Really like be confused.
It. Oh my god! She'll just go off.
That is excellent.
So those are our first winners.
Those are our first winners, and also coming out here soon, we've got a T-shirt coming out and bumper stickers. We'll probably throw a bumper sticker in for each of the three guys that we do the posters for, because I've got about 30 of them in my car.
Definitely, so, I love
not
it.
Not on my car, in my car.
No, you need to put them on your car too. I need to throw mine on there. And last, I wanted to mention that Warpath Podcast is coming out with its own mobile app. It will be available for iPhone and all Google Play and the Google Play Store. So you know, we're getting to be pretty big here.
Yeah,
our own
huge
app. So you know, we just submitted it to Apple, and I believe it will be titled Warpath CLE.
Yes.
So that's that's where we're at with that information. I'm excited to start working on the posters for these three winners, and we're going to be holding similar contests or something similar in the future. We're definitely going to do a Facebook contest that is almost exactly the same, and I'll probably tweet out and put some show notes with image of the three posters that I designed. Hopefully that didn't.
We're not laughing at Nick.
No, yeah.
Somebody just
there was a sound effect in this studio.
Somebody just lifted their hip.
I don't know what happened.
But all right. So we'll have the contest coming up. I real quick before we get out of here, I just want to say I've got a Bowling Green guy here. I've got a Kent guy here, and the Kent guy sent out some love to my Zips.
Yes, I did.
And I picked the Zips. Facebook.
Please rewrite what I wrote.
I just shut it down, you know, but it said whether you're from Kent State, Ohio,
Miami, Toledo,
Bowling Green, wherever, it's a Mac school, support the Zips.
I have the Macs back, Ohio Macs back.
I like that. Ohio slat, or what is it? It's hashtag Ohio Sports back or whatever.
I didn't have, it was on Facebook. I didn't have a hashtag on it, but
I don't care.
Whatever. It was, I have your back, Ohio Macs.
Nice. Excellent. Well, either way,
that's great.
You know, by the time you guys hear this, the tournament will already be in full gear, and Akron will have played VCU, but hopefully they'll be playing in the next couple nights after the podcast. So go Zips. This is Warpath Podcast, uploaded to the internet, downloaded to the internet.